A lot of good signs in the Indiana economy. 75,000 more people working than a year ago, and a higher number than that versus January of 05. Another great announcement yesterday, biggest ethanol plant east of the Mississippi. Ninth renewable fuels plant opening or groundbreaking in the last year. And lots of new investment possibilities in the pipeline. Spent a good part of the morning, when I wasn't calling families of soldiers, I was making calls to companies who are considering Indiana for new investment. So lowest unemployment in the region. Again, not nearly good enough, because it's not merely enough to have high numbers of Hoosiers working. We want them working at jobs that pay better than those of today. So long way to go, but lots of optimistic signs right now.
There's some talk at the national level about rebating part of the federal gas tax. Any thought about doing that here in Indiana?
Well, the national government made this problem, and they should take at least the first step in fixing it. You know, it's Congress that locked up American oil in Anwar, locked up oil offshore, prevented the construction of any new refineries in this country for 30 years, and often imposed, I think, unnecessary regulations. And so they really ought to take the first step. Many of the same congressmen who insisted on those policies, which have contributed to today's high gas prices, are now trying to point the blame elsewhere. But I think they ought to take the first step. We'll keep looking at this issue in Indiana, but we are emerging from bankruptcy, trying to get to the first balanced budget in a decade in this state. And I don't want to take any steps that are set us back a long way there and don't really provide any meaningful relief.
Tuesday's election, are you getting the sense that this is an anti-incumbent view?
I can't tell. I'm in favor of more competition, and both in the state and nationally, because of gerrymandering and advantages that incumbents set up for themselves when they can. We've typically had very, very little competition in primaries, and I think it's a good thing to see it in both parties. But I can't read it for you as to where it comes from or what it means.
Do you feel confident in the integrity of the election system that's going to go on Tuesday with all the different problems we're seeing around the state?
I do. I mean, I'm certainly hopeful, but I guess we'll all find out come Tuesday and Wednesday. It's not as though we haven't had major problems throughout our history with ballot integrity. And I think some important steps forward have been taken against fraud and to modernize technology. But clearly, all the bugs aren't ironed out yet.
Have you been in contact with Secretary of State about these election issues?
Honestly, no.
You know, a lot of times I think maybe people don't think about politics until the last minute, especially in a case like the primary.
God bless them.
Would you like to see maybe a system where, similar to, I don't know, for example, Wisconsin, where people don't have to register, say, over a month in advance, and they can, say, show up at the polls, maybe present an ID or whatever is necessary and vote?
Maybe if integrity can be protected at the same time. You know, it is not hard to exercise your right of citizenship. It is not hard to do. And I'm in favor of reasonable ways that make it even easier. But they do need to be balanced with the need to have an orderly election and make sure that people aren't voting more than once, things like that.
See any potential problems with the ID law this time, maybe ID?
I don't. Honestly, as has often been said by others, this is something we produce usually multiple times a day at the video store and everywhere else, and All kinds of steps have been taken. I think, as you know, DMV's having extra hours. People who don't have an ID and want one to vote go to the head of the line. And I'm in favor of all steps that maximize the convenience of this. But I agree with that very large majority of Hoosiers that feels this is absolutely acceptable and appropriate precaution against fraud.
What about the idea of an open primary? Some people don't like to go to the primaries. They want to pick Republican or Democrat, just as long as you vote for one person in one category.
I don't think our system's too bad. We're not a state where you have to register by party. You simply have to pick one primary or another when you show up. You can change back and forth every year if you like. I don't think that's a bad system. For one thing, it probably reduces the mischief potential, let's say, of Republicans jumping over into a Democratic race in order to nominate a weaker opponent or something like that. I don't have a strong view about it, but I think our system's pretty good balance.
One of the things that came up in the discussions about the Criminal Justice Institute investigation mm-hmm. was that the Democrats had filed a Freedom of Information request seeking some records more than a month ago, and none of those records have been provided. And I don't think there's been any correspondence telling them a legal reason mm-hmm. why they shouldn't be. Wondering if you think that if that's unacceptable or if it's okay to delay.
I don't know. The IG's been working on this for about that length of time, and as far as I know, that's not at all an unusual amount of time to comply with a FOIA request. It seems to me often they take even longer. So I don't know the particulars, but
important. So you don't think that more than a month is a long time to comply with a FOIA request?
I really don't know what the average is. What I want him doing is his own job. We don't really need, we created an IG specifically to police state government. We don't need others to do it for us if we're doing our job well. And
but the request didn't go to him. It mm-hmm. doesn't have anything to do with him. The request is of mm-hmm. the agency to provide records. Do they have a duty to do that?
They sure, of course they have a duty. And again, I just don't know what a standard or a optimal time frame ought to be.
Trails advocates tell me they're pretty pleased with the standing initiative that you announced this week. What made you decide to get involved at the top and try to direct the statewide program?
Traveling around the state, I kept encountering beautiful, but usually fairly short, bike and walking trails. And sometimes you would find two very interesting fragments only a few miles apart. And I'd had the idea all along, in our very first, I think, conversation with the DNR director, I asked him to work on this to see if there weren't a way to help communities come together and create trails that are where the sum is much more than the whole, is much more than the sum of the parts. And I think there's great excitement in the recreation community and in the outdoors community that we can do that. A lot of communities have been doing great things on their own, but there's up to this point not been an overall plan to bring them together or link them together. But I, you know, it came from visual experience, really.
And it has been kind of a hornet's nest of competing interests, particularly agricultural interests and property rights interests, who have fought most trails every step of the way. How are you going to resolve that?
Well, in the end, it may mean that certain pieces can't be built, but I'm certainly trying to help people understand the advantages to us all of enhancing outdoor and recreational opportunities in the state and the tourism opportunities for the areas that let's say a long trail might go through could be very meaningful. So in the end, people have a right to exercise their rights over their own property, but we've got some wonderful opportunities here, and particularly if we work together. Yeah, you're right. There's been a lot of leadership out of South Bend. I think the leader of the I was visiting with the other day of this movement comes from your town.
Governor, let me ask you about the gas question. Do you feel as though there are any examples of price gouging? And are you or is the state government doing anything differently now because of the high price of gas?
Well, I refer you to the Attorney General. He's looking all the time for any gouging, whether it's in gasoline or other consumer products. He's got a very aggressive program of surveillance for that. And anybody who thinks they see it should report it to him immediately. Yes, state government modifies its own behavior. We have to conserve fuel where we can. And it may mean that as gasoline costs go up for us, we have to find savings elsewhere.
Yesterday, the executive director was appointed for this new fusion center, the Intelligence Fusion Center, which I know was created by executive order and was in law. What exactly is this fusion center going to do with intelligence? Is it going to collect it, or is it actually going to do?
It's much more, I think, about the connection of dots, as we have learned to say, and about the dissemination of intelligence information to people who might need it, might need to be aware or to act on it. We've all seen that, certainly at the national, international level, but also closer to home, that intelligence isn't worth very much if it isn't being looked at in its entirety, so people can see patterns, and if it isn't being shared with the right people at the right time. And that's what Colonel Dietz is out to do with that center. And we've got, an expert, both from the military side, and as you know, he was an academic leader at Purdue's program before we recruited him to state government. So I know he's on the right trail.
There's been a bit of a thought in Washington just over the last couple of days to get rid of FEMA. In Indiana, we've recently discussed about how the state has stepped up to the plate, helping down in Mississippi and other things. Yeah. Do you think that that might be a model if FEMA were to be abolished? You know, increased state effort, increased state resources, more interstate coordination?
Honestly, I don't understand exactly what the proponents of this idea want to put in its place. They may have a good plan. I just haven't read about it or grasped it yet, so I can't say much about the idea of abolishing it. Only thing to add is I think Hoosiers have demonstrated on several occasions in the last year and a quarter the fundamental responsibility for emergency response is local and state. And I don't think there's any national organization or rearrangement of the structure there that will matter too much unless every state gets its act together and is as prepared as it can be to move assets right to the scene of a problem very quickly. So I don't dispute that there's all sorts of things FEMA could have done better in the last year or so, but it's not ever going to be a substitute for having first-rate emergency response and plans in place and a National Guard that can get to the scene quickly and all the things that I think Indiana's done a pretty good job of when called on recently. We all got to get better at this.
The reason I think about it is theoretically, if we were to abolish FEMA, we could send quite a lot of that money to each state, and that could theoretically boost state efforts to a point that FEMA wouldn't be needed.
Well, maybe so, but there's certainly a need for national coordination. You're not going to deal, for instance, with a pandemic without some national surveillance and stockpiles and that sort of thing that be beyond the reach of any state. And there are certain disasters, and there could be certain man-made catastrophes that would spill over state lines. So I think there'll be a need for a federal role. I'm just saying it can't do the whole job.
Governor, the Stadium Authority approved the Hirschland deal this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
There also are unexpected expenses removing contaminated soil.
Yeah.
Dave from Senate says that's maybe $11 million. Also, the price of steel might be $24 million over expectations.
Right.
Is it possible that there might be a need to come up with a new funding source for that stadium?
I really don't think so. I mean, we worked with the authority, simply used the estimates the city provided, the authorities providing these facilities for the city and for central Indiana, and they were made in good faith I know, nobody knew about the contaminated land or that would have been in the estimate. Every project in America has experienced steel cost run-ups. And then the Hearst situation, I think, was resolved as fairly as it can be. It could be. But there's a long way to go. Nobody's even designed the convention center yet, so I'm satisfied that the project's being very well managed, and I think that there are multiple ways in which it can come in ultimately at the number the city provided.
You mentioned the convention center. Do you think that there could be a possibility for cost savings in the convention center, since you point out that it hasn't even been designed yet?
I don't know, but yes, there could be a possibility. Again, the city provided a very general estimate, and there is not a design. And I suppose it could be low, but it also could be a little bit to the high side. And there are a lot of ways that the managers of the project can economize along the way, and they still have some contingency left still.
Governor, is there an event, a fundraiser at the mansion this weekend that somehow competes
tonight.
With you?
Tonight. Yeah.
Does it somehow compete with the Decorator Show House up at Gilbert Mansion? And
I don't think it competes at all, and I think these are complementary projects now, and I think they're going to have a terrific success with the show house, and I hope they do, and I'm sure that this event tonight, which in some part just is to thank those people who've donated services and goods, will stand on its own.
How many people are expecting?
I don't have any idea. I don't think it's a large crowd, but see when we get there.
So they move off of projects in a particularly intense district.
Actually, it will look just the opposite. As I've pointed out many times, the greatest benefit of major moves is going to shower on St. Joe County, on Lake County, on LaPorte County, on Porter County, on places where we got no votes at all, or almost no votes at all. And that's just fine, because this is about building a great state. And it's not about politics, and never was. But a political scientist looking at where those dollars are spent would say, something's upside down here. They're rewarding those who tried to block this project in the first place. No, we're not. We're doing the right thing for the long-term future of the state. We are building the projects that will make the most difference and put the most people to work. How about 31 as a classic example? We're going to advance 31 from fantasy to fact and from the earliest possible start date by many years. And I'm glad of that. And it just proves that politics never had a thing to do with this.
You enjoyed daylight saving time so far, a couple of weeks in now? Has it affected you at all? Has it been a positive?
Has it affected me?
Having more daylight at night?
I fall asleep whenever I feel like it anyway. And no, but of course it was never about that. I will say at the gym and elsewhere, I bumped into three people just yesterday in three separate places who said, I'm doing more things outdoors. I'm going for a walk. I got time to cut the grass after work. This was not really about that. It was about the economy and jobs and taking a handicap of confusion off of Indiana businesses. But I am anecdotally hearing from a lot of folks who do seem to like it and feel that they're a little more active. And that'd be a great thing if that turned out to be the pattern.
Are you going to support those counties in southwest Indiana if they decide to ask the federal government to switch them back? Will you?
Yes, I already have.
Yes. No,
we'll write a letter. I always took the position that choice of zone should be locally driven and supported every single one with one exception where we had a regional conflict, as you recall.
A lot of people expecting immigration protests coming up on the 1st.
sort of aimed at slowing down cities. Any concern about that here in our city?
No, I hope not. Seems to me the best thing that the immigrants can do in their own behalf is to show up for work, work hard, and show that they love America. And I hope that's what they'll do every day. Thank you.